Welcome to Every Other Wednesday, a bi-weekly conversation with Dylan Bickers and me, Devin Everettman. In this episode, interrupted political talk, banana toys on Amazon, and there's a machete in the trunk? Get ready, and remember, clear calendars, full hearts, can't lose.
Oh my god, YouTube surveys are so annoying.
YouTube surveys are annoying. But yeah, I had put, maybe we should talk about Brexit, but I mean, Brexit is always a thing, and it's always still going to be a thing, and they voted on a delay, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they have to get approval from the EU.
Yeah.
So which won't happen.
Ostensibly, there's a button that the Prime Minister has to press with Parliament's approval that separates them from the European Union.
Mm-hmm.
And that hasn't happened. And
yeah.
There's nothing, there's a really good line in the video by Gray, but there's nothing more permanent than a temporary solution.
Right.
And that's what we're dealing with right now.
And the deadline's in like 10 days?
Yeah.
Something like that. Amazing.
Oh, God. There's a little shop down the street called Amazing Meats.
Okay. That sounds awesome. Is that a butcher?
It is a butcher, and it's spelled A hyphen M A Y apostrophe S, because May owns it. ING Meats. He didn't That's do any great. Weird spelling with the meats portion, but I've always wanted to go in there because I do enjoy mates. A bit of meat.
Amazing mates.
Oh, also, as a you were born and raised-ish Chicagoan, right?
I moved here before. I moved here as in Ohio, for listeners, if this is the show. I moved here before middle school. So
gotcha.
What I remember of Chicago is kind of bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm. Do you, did you ever have proper Chicago deep dish pizza?
Yes, of course.
So, last night, well, not last night, a couple nights ago, my dad and I, because every now and then my dad and I like to do something nice, mm-hmm. We went out because he had a hankering for deep dish pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, they just opened a Giordano's, not, is mm-hmm. that how you pronounce it?
Giordano?
Yeah, that.
That.
In Columbus, and he's mm-hmm. like, yeah, that might be good. And so he gets on his computer and he...
It is very good.
He Googles. That was my Googling pantomime. And he's like, there's another spot that's closer. And they say they have deep dish pizza. And it's like, oh, let's go.
Okay.
And so we go, and it's the very upsettingly named BJ's.
Oh. Oh.
And we go and we order a pizza
mm-hmm.
and we expect it to be deep dish. It is and served it is. In a deep dish.
Yeah. And?
But we get it out of the deep dish and it just looks like a normal, like medium Domino's pizza.
Oh, no. Oh, no, that's the worst thing that could happen.
And because I didn't want my immersion to be broken
mm-hmm.
in this experience of wanting the deep dish, I continued to use my fork and knife to cut up this piece of Domino's pizza. And at first, Dad was like, oh, you know, it's pretty good. And as he went on, he was like, man, this is really fucking disappointing. And
yeah,
I'm like, yeah.
Not good.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you guys should have gone to Giordano's.
That's on the list for next time. Actually, I think my dad's taking a trip in April up to Chicago, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Should go to Lou Malnati's. That's the best.
Yeah, I've heard. I had a mm-hmm. buddy of mine, Jason Cathy, who's out there killing the motivational game. On Instagram,
mm-hmm.
He was trying to remember where in the Air Force I met him. I think he might have been in my No, he was definitely in my my BMT flight. So the second flight I was in basic training, because I got broken halfway through, got big breaks in my legs. Yeah, I had to go to med hold. It was a whole thing. It was, oh, that was a bad time. But yeah, I got out. I got reassigned to a new flight. And I think Kathy was actually the first one who, like, welcomed me into the flight. He was super chill, dude. But this dude is, like, hella strong, hella, like, super fit, like, and very motivational. And I'm like, man, you should write a book or something. And he's actually working on a book right now, and he's killing it at everything he does. I'm like, man, he's a cool ass dude. But he posted on his Instagram story about going to lose.
Nice.
He's like, and I think it was like in the tagline, if you go to Chicago and you don't go to lose, did you really go to Chicago? And but
go to lose, see Lake Michigan, and see the bean.
Touch the bean. Touch the big bean, boy.
Touch the big bean.
That reminded me of a really terrible tweet I made when the really horrible weather hit in Chicago this past month, where it was like, I think on Dubai Friday they talked about like preparing the windows and getting plastic and shit like that, but it was
negative 25 or something.
Yeah, it was wretchedly cold in Chicago.
Yeah.
And so I tweeted out something along the lines of, hey, to my pals in Chicago, no matter, please don't go out and lick the bean today. oh, who am I kidding? Guys, don't do that anyway.
That's like that's like a low joke, but okay.
It's very low, very bad. It got like no interaction.
It's one of those tweets that I would write in my like my daily tweet thing and then be like, no, I can't tweet this out. It's too hacky.
It's too tacky. My standards have significantly lowered, honestly, since Trump became president.
But it's good. I still got a chuckle out of it.
Hell yeah.
Hey, should we talk about how the Democrats aren't going to impeach Trump?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just how Nancy Pelosi has gone on record this past week saying that she won't impeach Trump unless there's something of major issue. Meaning that she does not want to taint the 2020 campaign with impeachment. And basically the whole question here was that, is she right to do that? Is the whole clout of what could happen, what could, you know, if Trump wins his impeachment trial, meaning that he doesn't get impeached, like, does that mean, or does that mean that he can just use that as leverage and win the election because, you know, everybody sees the Democrats as losers now? Like, does he ride that wave into 2020? Win the election again, win re-election, or should we, should, which is the right thing to do, go in and impeach him anyway and hope for the best?
So here's something I kind of, so I'm really worried about impeachment, because it's definitely no secret, but I really strongly dislike Donald Trump. But
I don't think that's a secret on this podcast.
Absolutely not.
Both of us strongly dislike the president of the United States.
But I do have serious concerns, and I think I've voiced them before about impeachment, because there are a lot of people who, even though impeachment is part of the Constitution, it's part of the law of the land. It's part of the document that all the people on the right, like, replaced with a sock whenever they jerk off and think about Thomas Paine. I don't know.
True.
But people view this whole idea behind impeachment on the right, on the far right, on the middle right, on, because there is no middle right anymore. Everything on the right has been radicalized increasingly over the past 3 years, 2 years.
Right.
Yeah. But people think this is an act of treason. Mm. And these people are also very big fans of their guns. And they're also very big fans of the idea of overthrowing a government with violence.
Right.
And so I have serious qualms about impeachment because, not because I don't think Trump should be impeached, but because of how volatile his base is. And I don't know, I'm very concerned.
No, I mean, that's also, it's also correct to be concerned about that because the idea, Trump it's himself isn't just just the person, you know, he's the idea. Mm-hmm. Of that person, and they've tried very, very hard and were very, very, very successful in making that idea very popular in people's minds. When they voted for Trump, they were, I mean, partly were voting for a person, but also voting to say, fuck the government and get somebody in there that is speaking the way I speak, talking the way I talk, thinking the way I think. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those kinds of people have very stubborn opinions and, you know, they do love their guns.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could get nasty if impeachment comes.
Mm-hmm.
But at least criminal trials can come sooner for everybody involved. Except
yes.
The president. And then once the president is out of office, they could.
Oh, absolutely.
Hopefully. But yeah, you're right. It's it is kind of a tinderbox.
Mm-hmm.
As it always is.
Yeah. A tinderbox on top of a powder keg on top of a, like all of the oil in Dubai. It's super bad.
Yeah. It's very bad. What else to talk about?
I need more coffee. It's very early, Devin.
I mean, it is kind of early, but don't you have to be at work at, like, what, 12, 11?
One.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's all good, but I live out in BFE Johnstown, and,
I go by Johnstown every day I go to work.
Oh, nice!
In New Albany.
Hell yeah. This is not related to the show. You can cut this out, but I really like the New Albany Library. It's a nice little spot because there's a little Starbucks just down the street, and you can go and you can read and have a good time and then get a little coffee.
I like libraries.
It's like the life I imagined I would have if I wasn't such a shut-in in high school.
promote excellent libraries.
Yes.
Libraries are very great.
You know what you shouldn't egg is your public library. You know what you should
or a librarian.
Egg? Yeah, don't egg a librarian. Mrs. Jubinski will like track you down.
yes, school librarian Mrs. Jubinski.
She was great. Like in hindsight, she was super good.
I wonder where she is at this point.
Me too.
She's doing fine.
Me too. Did you know she actually mailed me a graduation card?
Really?
Yeah.
Were you in the library a lot?
I was. I came there a lot. I didn't think I had that big of an impact on her, but like I always smiled at her because I knew a lot of the kids were super mean and
super mean to her. Yeah.
Yeah, and
kids are super mean to just about anyone, but school librarians kind of get a shaft.
They do, and so I was. It was about a week after graduation, I walked down to the mailbox back there in Dublin and came back and saw something addressed to me, which was weird because this was long before I got excessive debt and debt collectors trying to collect the debt. This is an attempt to collect the debt. Oh, fuck. Block.
Collect the debt.
But I opened it and it was a graduation card. And all it said was, I know you're going to do great. Thank you for all the smiles. And I was like, oh, my heart.
I was trying to think of the line from Bioshock just now.
Thank you.
Return the girl, forgive the debt.
Return the girl, forgive the debt. Would you kindly?
Would you kindly? The first one and the second one.
Spoiler alert.
Third one.
The first one in the infinite.
Yeah. Yeah. No one really talks about the second one anymore.
Yeah, it was bad.
I never played it. I have that collection. I probably should.
I played it a little bit. It was decent, but it was bad. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. You go first.
Oh, we're both too polite to do a podcast. God damn it. Yeah. Because
I think we're both going to talk about what we're playing right now.
Yeah, actually, absolutely. I'm going back through Celeste, which longtime listeners might remember from the top five games episode. And God, that was a long time ago. That was shit. That was almost a month ago. This month, by the way, we turn a year old, even though we skip weeks because I'm depressed. But
yeah, this month ish, like in a couple days, actually, it would have been a year. It would be a year since our first posting. That's which is crazy.
But so I've been going back through Celeste trying to get all the strawberries, and just everything about that game is amazing. The like down to like, so this is something I didn't notice until later, but something that's really frustrating, like when you die a lot in a game. Because there are some games that you're going to die a lot in. Celeste is one of them. But the loading screen and all that stuff, like, I have to do this again. I have to watch the cinematic again and then die. And then I can't skip it. It's an unskippable cutscene. And it just, everything sucks and I hate everything. And you pick up on all these things and you get a lot of distress from it. And stress is something that Celeste actually leverages super well, because you get a lot of eustress from playing it, and it's a very calming soundtrack. When you die, you almost immediately pop back to the start of that screen that you're on, and it's super easy to see what your goal is. You're standing on one side of the screen, the exit's on the other side of the screen. It's just the screen you have to deal with. And so it's very easy to see, start, what I have to deal with, there's the end point, how do I get there? And if I die, I'm right back at the start. And it feeds more into, I know I can do this, as opposed to, this is never going to end. So, Celeste does a super good job of managing the difference between eustress and distress. And for listeners who don't know, there are two types of stress. One's positive, that is eustress. One's negative, that is distress. Now I sound like my psychiatrist. But, yeah, it's...
How does that make you feel?
Oh, man, it... You know... When I was
talking
seven,
about stress,
it makes me feel like I don't want to go to work today.
Oh, no one does, though.
Capitalism. Gotta love it.
Right. I was going to say, I still haven't played Celeste, even though that's on my list. But I think it was a giant beast cast, because Giant Bomb has two offices. They have one in New York and they have one in San Francisco. The New York office is called Giant Beast. They're the East, so.
Ah, nice.
Good play. The Beast Cast, their podcast, which comes out later in the week, and the Bombcast comes out earlier in the week. Anyway, they had Lena Raine on as a guest. She did the she is the composer of the Celeste music.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, sure. I just wanted to mention that. I don't really have anything else to say, but she seemed really cool.
Hell yeah!
And she is coming out with a vinyl pressing of the Celeste soundtrack.
Nice.
So yeah, which has like new illustrations and like demos on it and stuff like that too.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're very like into that game, you might want to look at that. I don't know if you're a vinyl collector or have a record player, but
I am not, and I do not, but I've considered it, especially after many discussions with someone I don't talk to so much anymore, good old Matthew Caldwell from back in high school.
He must collect a lot.
Oh yeah, he always
he's
very into music. He was very into his record collection, keeping it safe and sturdy, and talked a lot about his Frank Zappa records.
I still haven't gotten into Zappa.
I haven't either.
Challenge?
Digga digga digga! Challenge!
Ooh, that could be a good one. And then we'll get a lot of hate for saying anything bad about Zappa. Just from Caldwell, though.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Caldwell will be upset if he listens to this.
If he listens to this, we should give him a shout out so he has to listen to it, at least until he hears his name on the podcast.
Absolutely.
So yeah, we could do that. I actually have this, so I kind of appify everything now in my life, which is basically gamifying everything.
Nice.
Which kind of just clears, I don't know if I just have, I feel better about like reminders and stuff like that, and it's all on my phone and everything like that. So like I have like this calendar of dates that like it's 116 days until I go to a music festival I want to go to.
Nice.
It's 43 days until I go to a wrestling event I want to go to. 27 days until the Game of Thrones premiere.
Oh shit, though.
13 days until I see the Dollop live.
Nice. Yeah.
But anyway, as I was going to go through this, I have Audible, I have Goodreads for my books, but I also have Discogs.com for my record collection.
Ooh.
And I was adding records today because I was subscribed to Vinyl, that's VYNL, like subscription service, monthly box for vinyl. It's pretty costly though. It's like $23 a month.
Oof.
But you get three.
Oh hell yeah.
So you get three a month, so it kind of works itself out. And I've got some really good stuff from there. But I was basically getting the ones out. It's like I canceled my vinyl subscription because I didn't think it was worth it. Because I just wasn't listening to them at the pace that I needed to be caught up.
It was more expensive than it was costly.
More expensive. Yeah. That's a good way to put it. But this is to say that I spent some time last night to put some of those records into my collection thing. So now I have 133 logged in on my collection. And it gives you like a whole estimate of what your collection's valued at. My collection is valued at $2,629.
Holy shit, dog.
So that's like an average of like $20 a album. My newest album actually got from my girlfriend is the Rainbow Kitten Surprise album that I really loved from last year.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, that's great.
That's so crazy. It's
yeah. So if you get a player, you can come over sometime and borrow some if you want.
I'm sure I have
something that you'd like.
I still have all of those books, and they're still in my trunk that I borrowed from you that one time.
I probably gave you way too many at once, but, you know.
It's an incredibly daunting task just looking at all of those books. And every time I open my trunk, which is rarely, I'm like, oof. And so there's a fucking, I just realized this recently, but in the back of my trunk, there's a machete, and I don't know when it got there. Huh. I think it might have been in there when I bought the car. And I'm concerned.
That could be dangerous.
And I don't know why.
Do you need you need something on you, like, to, because you can't have a certain like that's a bladed weapon that you're not supposed to have without like a license, right? Or is that illegal? Is that one illegal?
I think that one might be legal because it's a tool. But also it's concerning, and I don't have anywhere to put it.
Right.
And I feel like it'd be weird if I just dumped the machete somewhere.
Because also, I know like
a kid could find it.
Right.
And I'm like, man, this is weird. So there's just since I've had the car, there's just been kind of like a machete in my trunk, and I title
machete in the trunk. I mean, I don't know. Maybe keep it. I don't know.
I don't know.
You want to see something cool? Open up your trunk. There's a machete in here.
Ignore all the books by John Stewart. There's a machete in the
back.
There's
a machete in here. Did I give you that one?
You did.
The oral history of the Daily Show?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's where it is. Because I was talking with my girlfriend about that, and I was like, you would like that. Maybe I should give it. I was like, where is that? I don't know where it is.
It's with the machete.
It's in a safe place with the machete.
The machete guards it.
That's where all my valuable books go. It's a safe place with the machete.
It's a sentient bladed weapon, kind of like Beacon.
Yes, kind of like Beacon. Oh, Doc.
Ah, Doc Norton.
That's ridiculous. Justin is too good at that too.
He is
Doc Norton. I was gonna say in order to, because I do get anxiety because of too many books, mm-hmm. just like there, in order to not feel that, I limit the amount of books that are in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I put the rest like on my bookshelf, like mm-hmm. that's away. Like right now my bookshelf is in the basement, so I do not see those books, and I can focus on the ones that I want to see.
Hell yeah, out of sight, out of mind. I also I think I started, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, but I recently got a Kindle, and I super love that thing. I got a Kindle Paperwhite, and it is so good. And I don't know what took me so long to get an e-reader, because obviously I've got my iPad and I could read books on that, but there was always something kind of missing. And I can't explain how or why, but the Kindle super answered or filled in the spots that were initially missing. Mm. Like, man, this is just a good product.
Mm.
And it costs more, obviously, because Jeff Bezos is a fuck, but to get the Kindle without special offers, because I knew 100% I don't want to deal with picking up this thing, opening it, and the first thing I see is a fucking ad.
Right.
And it's like, oh, based on your browsing history, you would probably like this stretchy banana toy. I'm like, oh, why do you know me so well, Amazon? Why are you advertising this stretchy banana boy? And...
Title. I mean, stretchy banana boy. That's hard to resist.
It is. And did I talk about this last episode?
No, do you actually have a stretchy banana boy?
No.
That Jeff Bezos sold you?
No, but I'm thinking about it because I heard about it on Back to Work. It's
time to type that into Amazon search and see
Amazon.
What comes up.
Amazon.com. It's a banana and a ball.
I'm doing the other search right now.
Banana
stretchy,
ball.
Stretchy.
There it is. Found
stretchy.
It. It's the Ja Roo Super Stretchy Banana and Bouncy Ball Bundle Stretches Long Smells Good 3340-1P. That's the SEO title. There's only 11 left in stock. Order soon. One fun banana, super stretchy with like 6 U's. You can stretch and use in many ways. Realistic looking stretchy banana. Simply pat to restore original form. One collectible small bouncy ball by Ja Roo and two good shots.
Ja Roo.
Fun
is Ja Roo, just Ja Roo, Ja Rules toy company. Ja Rules toy company.
Fucking bet. Did you see when Facebook and Instagram went down for a day and everyone was freaking out?
Yeah. It was like the fire festival of our lives.
Oh yeah, Soulja Boy came out. It was like, man, Instagram and Facebook are both down. Man, y'all should get the Soulja app. And I'm like, Soulja Boy, this
please
is
tell
not
me he'd actually said that.
He did. He did.
Great. That is great. I can play Fortnite on my Soulja Boy console.
Didn't he get in trouble for like?
Oh yeah.
Like making essentially booted versions of like free booted versions of Nintendo games on like his quote unquote own system.
Yeah, I think he's getting sued by Nintendo, the government, Microsoft, like all these peoples.
Man, he couldn't have just been happy by Supermaning. He had to He had to do all that other stuff. But I have more things about this stretchy banana because there's a lot of options. There's so many options.
I was gonna say when I typed in stretchy banana boy, I got the same result.
Hell yeah.
Which makes me super happy.
For the listeners at home, these are the style options you can get. The Ja Roo super stretchy banana and bouncy ball bundle stretches long, smells good, 3340-1P by Ja Roo.
Get the full title in. It's important.
It is. It's super important. You got to get that SEO in there. But so your options are 2 bananas, 1 ball, 4 bananas, 1 ball, 8 bananas,
I've
one
seen
ball,
that video before.
Banana and ball, banana and bouncy ball, banana flarp and ball, banana poop brown and bouncy ball, banana poop pink and bouncy ball, banana spinner and ball, banana splat ball and ball, banana stretchy ball with like 3 R's, and single banana.
Single banana.
And so the difference between a banana and ball and 8 bananas, 1 bouncy ball is $30.
What is going on?
You can get 8 bananas, 1 ball, $30. Think of all the entertainment you'd get from just flapping around these 8 stretchy boys.
I mean, that does sound pretty entertaining. I'm not going to lie.
Challenge.
I wish to get our own banana
challenge.
Boy, banana boy toys.
There's only 3 left in stock. We have to get 8 bananas, 1 ball.
They're running out. 8 bananas, 1 ball. They're running out of my good stretchy banana boy toys.
You know what? My dude,
my banana hammocks.
It's in my cart.
The box says banana. Squeezy yum. So stretchy.
I'm proceeding to check out.
Oh no. I mean, so you wanted the banana and the what?
So right now I just have
banana
and ball.
Poop pink and bouncy ball.
I just have banana and ball, but I'm thinking I could get 8 banana and ball.
Have you looked at the poop packaging?
Oh, yes. It's like an emoji.
It is. It's like a really bad knockoff of an emoji, which it is.
It's
wow.
So
there's a
bad
video?
Oh, man. I could get this by Monday.
Stretchy
That's the video. It's just kids playing with their banana stretches in front of the camera.
Big stretch.
Big stretch. Squishy and soft but sticky. Oh yeah.
And you can stretch. I bought it.
And they splat if you throw them on anything.
So Ja Rule is I mean, Ja Rule is that kid's company. So support this kid who looks like he's from the 90s and was wearing a shirt that just says Rock on it.
Rock. He's a big fan of Rock.
He's a big fan of Rock. He looks like he's like maybe 7 or 8.
He doesn't specify. He doesn't say if it's alt rock, just standard rock.
It says rock. It's in the. I mean, he knows his knockoffs because it says Rock and it's in the AC/DC kind of font. So on a black t-shirt with a red AC/DC kind of logo, it just says Rock on it. I want to wear that shirt.
Maybe he's just really into geology. He's like, oh my fuck God. Yeah, look at this cool rock.
Rock.
I mean, someone has to, like, kids have to be, like, you have to start off with a hard-on for rocks. Like, I don't think that's something that develops with age. Because...
Yeah. While the other kids were off playing, I was playing with my rocks.
I was like, man, look at this cool piece of asphalt I picked up. I wonder what story it has to tell. And then, like, 30 years later, with all your education, your PhD in, like, comparative geology, and all you find out is, damn, this asphalt's boring as fuck.
This is what James Baldwin was thinking when he wrote If Beale Street Could Talk. That was a bad joke. I just finished that book, so... It was really on my mind. It's a good book, by the way. You should read it. It's a quick read.
Hell yeah.
But yeah.
I'm about 60% through, what is it, 11/23/62 or something like that, mm-hmm. The Stephen King book about trying to stop the assassination of JFK. Oh, man. Like. Good? I haven't read a Stephen King book in a minute, but I forgot how good he is at, like, drawing you in. And
I've never read one.
Well, I mean, you've read one, but it wasn't really one.
Right. I read The On Writing.
Yep.
Because we had to read it for that class.
That woman.
No, and you're right. Like, I think you, when I say that I don't like that book, I think you always pull me back from that ledge, and I go, oh, yeah, maybe I would like it if I wasn't forced by that woman.
It's super good. And...
Maybe I should go back and because I think I like either threw away my copy or gave it to somebody.
Mm-hmm. I started out by reading a borrowed copy from the library, and I enjoyed it so much that I wound up buying a copy for myself and just replaced the same cover. Like, they haven't obviously, I mean, I don't know how often people update their covers, but same cover as I remember from high school. And,
nice.
But it's really good and really helpful and useful and reminds me to write things, even when I don't feel like writing things.
I also hear Carrie and It are really good.
Yes, as far as, I think Carrie was the first one he published, wasn't it?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
There was.
He's written so many now. It's kind of ridiculous.
I still remember the first Stephen King book I bought, and I couldn't have been that old. Maybe I was 11 or 12, but I got it, believe it or not, at the Scholastic Book Fair. I don't know why they had Stephen King in the Scholastic Book Fair, but especially at a very conservative Catholic school, but I bought it because there was a cool Nokia on the front, and I'm like, damn, that's a cool Nokia, and because I was super interested in tech and I wanted to have a book about cell phones, and
hell yeah,
it was not the right book for me to read at that point in my life.
Yeah. I got the information. Carrie was published in 1974, and it was his first book. His
Hell
first,
yeah.
First published novel. Maybe not his first book, but first published novel.
Proud of myself for remembering that. Oh. Yeah.
I wanna write a book, and not just a book, but a book that's long enough to be considered a novel.
Hell yeah. That's the goal. That's ultimately what everyone wants.
What's the page length need to be? Like over 150, maybe 200?
Let's see. How long does a book need to be to be a novel?
Because I just finished If Beale Street Could Talk, and that was almost 200 pages.
Huh.
And that's considered a novel.
A manuscript over 40,000 words is considered to be a novel. However, very few novels these days are as short as that. Generally, a 50,000-word novel would be the minimum word count. Most novels are between 60,000 and 100,000 words.
So past, like, 100 pages, then, basically?
Mm-hmm.
If we go by the newsroom rule of 400 to a page?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I still remember that. I have to keep tabs on your word count when you're writing articles.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe, like, I remember when I was in news writing, and there was so often I'd have difficulty hitting 350.
Really?
Yeah.
So often, do you mean, like, you'd go past, or you wouldn't go far enough?
I wouldn't go far enough. And now, like, I'll bang out something that, I don't know, I want to post on my blog, or I'll post on Facebook because my toe got sucked back in. What title? but I'll look at the word count in my text app, and it'll be like 400, 480, 700 words, and I'm like, why? And you know what I think it is?
What is it?
I think it's my clicky keyboard.
It just inspires you?
It does. I hear that clickety clack, and it makes, I don't know, get a little hard on for the clickety clack. And I'm looking at this banana.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this banana. Citadel Black, the official banana for stress relief toy,
the official banana,
blue sand filled rubber ellipses.
Only give me the official one.
And it's showing.
I don't want any of these fake bananas.
A picture of a banana.
Hmm.
And on the banana, it says in parentheses, for scale. There's nothing else in the picture.
That's amazing. The parentheses are for scale. That's what it is.
I'm taking a screenshot of this, and I'm dropping it in the thingy.
In the thingy. Okay. For that news writing bit, I was going to say, like, when I was writing things that I didn't want to write, that forced, not really forced upon me, but, like, I didn't have any other ideas, so I just went with this one. Mm-hmm. When I did that, I had that same problem. But when I was writing my own column, I had the opposite problem, which I would write 800 words and have to cut it down. And I was saying, we don't have to be cagey around talking about Irish Eye because they want to be known on the public.
Absolutely. So Irish Eye, super good. And 10 out of 10. If you are a student at Dublin Scyata, fucking buy that shit.
Basically.
That's not the right thing to say to high schoolers.
Buy that shit.
Fucking buy that shit, dude.
Encourage your journalism peeps. Please.
Oh my god.
Encourage them to write more. So we have good writers in the future.
Absolutely. Please. I'm pretty sure there's at least one person I know from the Irish Eye that is like a proper journalist now.
Yes. I think there's at least two, but I don't want to people's names up.
Yeah. But yeah, I think you can bleep this, but...
Yes. Those are the two I was thinking of.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Journalists, man.
They're the ones living the dream. They're kicking ass, taking names.
Yeah. Yeah, they really are. I was going to suggest that the title for this episode should just be parentheses four scale.
Yes!
Four scale, close parentheses. Or four scale on a banana.
Oh, I need to click on this product. My results are going to...
I don't even know how one makes that illustration.
No, like, it's literally on the toy.
No, it's not.
It is. It's literally on.
That cannot be just printed on
it
the toy.
It is. They have a picture of it stretched out and the four scale looks like some meme writing. Oh my god. Why does it say for scale?
It's only $10. No, $9.97, sorry. It's only $9.97. It's sand-filled rubber.
It looks like one of those produce containers that you get at, like, Meijer or something like that, where they sell, uh-huh, like, sliced fruit or something like that. You know, the plastic-wrapped on a tray deal.
Yes.
And it says, the official banana, and in parentheses, for scale!
I didn't even notice in the listing it says the official banana for scale. What is going on there?
Did I buy the wrong banana?
I needed to buy the official one. It needs to be official for our challenge where we stretch the banana as far as it can go.
Okay, I want to sue them right now for false advertisement because it says total price 24 cents, but here... It says $9.97 on Amazon Prime.
What? Also, screenshot that. That is a lunacy. What? Where's this podcast going, Dylan?
Apparently, it's going for scale.
Because I had some like smart things to say, and then we kind of got tracked to very, very funny things.
Oh. Fuck, but, I have to leave soon.
Yeah, it's 10:38.
Say one smart thing, but don't one make smart it too thing. Long.
Okay. I watched a Vox video this morning
about the Green New Deal. Hell yeah, that's all you gotta say.
The Green New Deal, as an example of tactical framing, meaning that it's just a being used as a pawn for reactionary political commentary on news networks instead of actually explaining what the Green New Deal is.
That all sounds so, super important, yeah. But I'm still really fucked up about the banana for scale.
I'm just going to run through it. So they have this whole article on GND Explained, which is basically summarized to three points that the plan must have in order to be a Green New Deal plan, in order for everybody on that side of the party to be pleased. And number one is that the plan must decarbonize the economy. Number two is that the plan is the socialist part. The plan must include a federal jobs guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
And large-scale public investment.
Mm-hmm.
And then number three is that it has to include a just transition that makes sure that people that are going to be hurt by the transition are taken care of. But yeah, I just thought it was super interesting that they're kind of putting a green part to this Green New Deal, but they're also putting a New Deal part to this Green New Deal.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that. And you would not know that if you were just watching like regular cable news.
Oh yeah, absolutely not. Also, I just bought the banana for scale.
Citadel Black, the official banana for scale stress relief toy, stretchy glue. Yep.
Oh,
should I get a banana for scale?
If you want, challenge. FOMO. Get the banana for scale. Find a use for your banana.
FOMO for your banana. What? Title?
Title. FOMO. Banana FOMO. Momo?
No, not Momo. I'm actually excited because I actually have a closing thing prepared. So when we get to it, when are we going to get to it, Dylan?
We're about to
wrap up. You're still a sleepy boy.
I'm still a sleepy boy. I just got a notification of this tweet. Joe Biden says that he stopped his driver on the way to tonight's Democratic dinner to give a homeless woman, quote, whatever was in my pocket, stops the sparking applause by saying, no, 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 it's not about me.
Same. Right. Nice. The Dave Anthony on Twitter calling out like fake liberal like caring in order to he pointed out recently like the like it was like a Debbie Wasserman Schultz tweet where she was like she was in another country talking about homelessness there, and then Dave Anthony was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, of course, but I mean, you're in an actual government position in which you could affect people here. And she lives in DC, so
dang,
like, come on, dude, like, one of the biggest homeless populations in America. Whatever.
I'm distracted.
You're distracted? I thought you were reacting to my vicious takedown on Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
I super was. But also, Apple's releasing a new iPad mini.
Oh! That means Dylan's wallet's going to hurt soon.
It is. And I know that I'm fairly certain we're going to announce
Dylan.
New... Yeah?
I was going to say, Dylan's wallet, tell me where he hurt you.
Point on the picture of the doll. Where did Dylan hurt the wallet? Inside. Cut that. I hate that. Inside. I hate that joke. I hate that joke. It was a bad joke.
That is a very much a John Mulaney thing that he would do. I hate that joke, and I just put it in there. Just cuz.
And he looked at me and he said, not funny!
What's up, pussycat? What's new, pussycat?
Oh my god. Oh god.
Pussycat. Okay. We should probably wrap up.
We should. I need to go soon. So where can we find you on the internet, Devin?
Have been listening to an episode of the Dollop every other Wednesday, and you can find me, Devin Everatnam, on the internet at devinava.com, where I just wrote a piece on The Fifth Risk, Michael Lewis's new book. It's good, but you should go look at it because I wrote it. Whatever. Yeah. You can find me at DevinNava on Twitter.com. Where can they find you, Dylan?
You can find me on the internet at DylanBickers.com. I haven't written a new piece since the last one I wrote. I need to do that and stop being so goddamn lazy. I am on Twitter at DylanBickers. And you can find show notes for this episode and the rest of the episodes, if you don't listen the traditional way, at EOW, that's E as in every, O as in other, W as in wombat, .fireside.fm. And that's about it. Expect a review of the Banana for Scale on my website very soon.
Yep. Music, of course, courtesy of Villainous Beats. You can find him on SoundCloud at Villainous Beats. Yeah, so you wanna hear this final?
Yeah, hit me here with the final.
All right. So, one night I was at the lab and I was getting hungry and it was like close to the end of my shift.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, what's open at this? Because I work third shift. I was like, what's open at this time? So I was like, breakfast 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And I found out that the IHOP near me is a 24-hour IHOP.
Oh, shit.
Which I did not know because they don't really advertise that fact. So I was looking at, was at on the Google page for it, and I was looking at the comments, and this person he was really, really angry. And so I'm going to read his comment word for word. Right. Since IHOP is renaming to IHOB, then why not go all the way and name yourself Burgers and More? This is the stupidest idea ever. Really, really. This takes the cake on ruining a longtime nationally known breakfast restaurant name. Just keep hobbing on. So I saw that and I was like, and if you didn't know, IHOP ran that, what, last year?
Mm-hmm.
A couple months ago.
They're going to become the International House of Burgers. Burgers.
Hell yeah. Baggers. Baggers. And it was an ill-conceived advertising campaign.
Mm-hmm.
No one really cares about IHOP's burgers. I'm sure they're fine, but they're just meat, you know, like. They're known for pancakes, so that's why I go to IHOP.
Missed golden opportunity for a little bit of the old fashioned.
So I also wanted to comment something because I just found this comment so amazing.
Ooh.
So what I commented, because this artist Michelle, she's a local guide in Dublin, apparently, and she's written 126 reviews. She commented on his comment saying, it's only a temp name change for the promo. So if he didn't know that, at least he knew it now.
Aww.
So I replied because, you know, I just needed to. So
yeah.
My reply in its entirety is, since IHOB is renaming to IHOP, then why not go all the way and name yourself Pancakes and More? This is the stupidest idea ever. Really, really. This takes the cake on ruining a longtime nationally known burger restaurant name. Just keep hopping off. I'm done.
Done too.
Okay. I think they deleted that review actually, or that comment actually.
Jesus.